Give me a W.
W.
Give me a U.
U.
Give me an L.
L.
Give me an F. F. F.
Three Fs.
Give me a nation.
Nation.
Anyway, that we want to tell you about our sponsor, Wolf Nation. WLF Nation. Wake up.
Live free.
Wake up.
Live free.
And wake up.
Before you go.
Live free.
I thought the third one would be a trick question.
Wolf Nation, baby. That is a new apparel company that is out there. Okay, wake up, live free. You tired of spending check to check, working for the man?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what Wake Up Live Free is all about. You know what? Maybe go start a podcast, because no one's ever done that before.
Not a person.
Go start a podcast. Go do stand-up comedy. Go do beat poetry. Go wear a skin suit to an open mic. Who knows? But just wake up and live free. Stop freaking worrying about
it.
Put the sweatshirt on. Go to the gym. And show people that you are waking up and living free. Give me that W.
W.
Give me that U.
You.
Give me that L.
L.
Give me that F Nation.
F Nation.
This is Lester State, a.k.a. Terry State. And listen to Verbal Shenanigans. Do not change that dial, because I'm going to come get you, son. Oh!
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
All right. Hello. And welcome back to this, train wreck we like to call Verbal Shenanigans. I'd like to welcome you back. Michael Berlow, hello. How are you?
We are doing good, sir. Very well. Salutations to you.
Let me tell you, we have been busy. Busy.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
I mean, we have a lot of things going on. One, okay, a lot of things going on with the pond. That's why my voice sounded weird.
What'd you do?
All these knobs got twisted this weekend. And that's why I was sound a little weird. There was a couple of things that were off.
Things were getting freaky in the Brennan house.
Because look, all the highs were gone. So then I sounded like this probably the whole last guest we had.
Yeah.
And now I'm back. And there's my voice.
There you are.
That's it. I'm going to go edit in all my questions. So, yeah, we just did an interview that'll appear somewhat soon. Not sure where that one's going to fit in, but great interview.
Somewhere in the 90s.
But, the only way to describe it is that we've definitely been busy. It's so weird. I know we said it on a couple other casts, but in somewhere around the end of November, I said we were starting to hit a little rut. We were starting to slow down a little bit. And then it feels like the first week of December hit, and we have been nonstop since again with rapid fire guests, like ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. And that's like what really drives this show. But we also we had the for those of you who don't know, we're doing the Shenanigans Showdown.
Yep.
Yes, ignore the cheesy name, but it is basically a competition between Mike Berlow and I, scoring 5-pointers, 10-pointers, 20-point challenges, and one 50-point challenge, accumulating points over an entire year. I think that's the best way I could describe it. So Berlow, I guess we'll jump into that. But we also have the Verbal Shenanigans comedy show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
on February 21st. So it's coming up quick. Okay, a month from today, really, when we're recording, a month from tomorrow. Real quick. We'll go over that again at the end of the podcast, but that is February 21st at Table 42 in Dover with headliner Mark Riccadonna, featuring Joe Conti and guesting Jackie Byrne. $35 for dinner and the show. So it's on a Sunday night after football, after Valentine's Day. Should be a blast.
Another funny lineup, another differential lineup, if you will, different styles. And always seems to work out well, the Verbal Shenanigans.
Yep. Three for three, so we're going to try to go four for four.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess tying it all in with being busy, okay, busy is a good thing because busy means we're Because, look, if it's just me and you on episodes, we don't ever have to be busy. We can just do that once a week, whenever we want, at whatever time you want.
Yeah.
But busy meaning guest and busy meaning live events. If you heard our last podcast, we went LARPing.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
We went LARPing in Lafayette, New Jersey, with the Lair Group.
Mm-hmm.
What can I say about this? Okay. Those of you just tuning in, okay, Mike Berlew challenged me to participate in a LARPing event.
Correct.
Okay. And that was a 10-pointer.
Yes.
Okay. 10-pointer. And at the time, Mike is up five, was up 5-0 with his mustache for a week. That was a nice, easy one, ease into the competition. I came swinging back with the LARPing event. I hope you guys enjoyed that cast. But we rode home after that day like, did that just happen?
Yeah.
Did we really just do that for six and a half hours we were there?
I think our key point is when I look at you and I say, you're in your 30s, I'm almost 40, and we did that?
Yeah. We were next to cat people, wizards, a lot of interesting people is all I can say.
Very nice people.
They treated us great. Yes. And if they wanted, ever wanted us to work with them again, I would surely do it.
Yeah.
But
well, let's have an honest question, like percentage-wise, odds you would ever LARP again?
10%.
10%?
10%.
That's high. I figured you might throw the old, oh, no, zero, not me, never.
Okay, all right. Let's rearrange that. So LARPing for entertainment or LARPing for myself, is that the question? Because 0% LARPing for myself. It's not for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, that's fine.
What about you, LARPing for yourself?
LARPing for myself, I would give it an 8%. And this is my caveat to it.
If there's a hot chick that you're dating that's into it and says...
I mean, any hot chick, you got to think about it, especially when you're single.
Yeah. So you're... You know, but, it could go from 8 to 80% real quick.
But
I like to dress up as a cat. A wolf. Sorry. all right, so go ahead.
But I'm not sure that time period, that it was fun with the weapons and so forth. I'm not sure that would be my time period to do a 72-hour nonstop staying out character. Or staying in character,
yeah.
Sorry.
Just for those of you who didn't listen, they LARP, not for a day, okay, yeah. Not for a couple hours at the park. They get there Friday and go all the way to Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, even when we were at lunch, we had to wear the white headbands because we're ghosts, so they can't see us.
Right, but we're not NPCs, non-player correct. Characters.
And even like during lunch, like I'm eating and I'm seeing people. What's going on outside? And they're just running out. And it's like, well, we're having lunch. Nothing's going on.
My favorite was when we were leaving and we were in the bar area. Now, it's on a scout reservation, so there's no alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might think it might get fun with alcohol to try to stay in character and get wasted.
That would be interesting.
But these guys were just acting wasted, like, oh! And then one guy was on the ground pretending he was passed out drunk.
Yeah.
First off, no one ever wants to be passed out drunk, and then pretending to be passed out drunk seems a little too much for me. A little too much.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing for me, the whole 72 hours nonstop. I mean, like, you and I would say there's fun parts when we participate and all that, but then it's kind of like when we want to turn to each other and kind of laugh and joke about it. It's like, no, it's not Sunday evening yet. That's the kind of thing. The only thing I could see me be kind of interested in is the zombie apocalypse one.
All right.
Being a huge Walking Dead fan and all that, but again, as I kind of think about it, all right, 72 hours, they're going to act serious as zombies. So that could mean a scenario where your entire weekend is like in an attic with no food or water as they're trying to attack you.
Yeah, and you could do that yourself and not pay for it.
Yeah. Here's the positives I will throw out there for LARPing. Number one, if you're thinking about being a writer or an actor, that might be a great way to think out
a character,
act out your character, and kind of really develop it for something
very
you
good
want
point.
To do.
Excellent point.
I mean, the great point, I forget who our first person, I I want to say his name was AJ. I forget the first person's
Everyone
name.
On this show is AJ.
No, it just seems like it. But he kind of brought up how like a lot of people, like the kids, are very social outcasts. They don't talk to people, and it kind of helps them kind of get into a community, something to look forward to. I mean, those are all great things and stuff like that. And I will say the setup there is amazing. If somebody said, I'm interested in LARPing, I would go, you got to check out Lafayette, because that is a great setup.
It's like LARP City.
Yeah. I mean, I guess another comparison would be kind of be like, let's talk about NASCAR. Like, before you met me...
LARPing for rednecks, as I call it.
Point A. But, like, even before you brought me on the podcast and know me, if somebody walked up to you, Scott, odds you would get interested in NASCAR, probably 0, maybe 2%.
Yeah, small
something
percentage.
Something like that. As we did the podcast with Trevor Bayne, getting to know Pocono Raceway, and as we kind of watched a few races, I see a little bit, I mean... I would say, am I going to just walk in and shocked to see you're watching a race on your own? No. But I know you kind of talk about, man, I'd really like to talk about the pit crew and different stuff like that. So
you see the elements that go into it, for
and
sure.
And that's kind of the point. It's a thing that I can't see myself really doing it for 72 hours, but I see what they love about it. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for them. And I would promote Lair for anybody who's interested in
Absolutely. And like I said, I opened the door for them, you know, left the door open if they ever wanted to work with us and whatnot, and we'll see.
Yeah. And the other thing about that Saturday, I was sick as a dog, too.
Yeah, you pretty much like 2 hours into it started really, like I thought, at one point I thought you were going to tap out. I thought I was going to be alone with the wolves and ogres.
Great,
you were putting like Dr. Pepper on your head.
Mountain Dew Code Red.
But something might be going around, because Monday I had a migraine all day to like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. From the time I woke up to a buddy of mine at work was just absent because he had a migraine all day. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I get my headaches behind my eye, and
mine was like that too.
Yeah, and as I tell people, it's one of basically five things. I didn't get enough sleep. I didn't get enough to eat. I didn't have enough caffeine. I ate something wrong, or I'm generally like sick.
What about hungover?
I really don't get that hungover.
All right, well, let's start now.
Scott, the headache's not behind the eye.
We're podcasting
my stomach
at 4 a.m.
But so like going into it, like I had like 2 or 3 cups of coffee and tried Mountain Dew. That wasn't helping out. They finally had lunch. I was kind of like really hungry, and they wanted to do like a whole speech thing, and I'm kind of like, I know I'm not a part of this. Can I just go right in the front line?
There was a point where I realized LARPing wasn't for me. They were praying to, I don't know, some false dragon gods and the one that knows and the pig. I don't know. It was weird. I mean, I guess it's really no different than any other bullshit religion.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But to pretend, I don't know, man. I don't.
Yeah.
But overall, it was a good podcast. It was something I never would do. Okay. It opened us up to something we'd never experience. And, you know, we got some funny pictures out of it, some funny content out of it. And I got 10 points.
Yeah. So going in today was 10-5.
Today it was 10-5, Team Brennan. Going into today, as you saw the pictures and whatnot. But Berlo swung back hard today.
Yeah.
He texted me. And you'll see the pictures up very soon. Probably when this episode comes up, we'll put them up with it.
Yep.
Berlo, I challenged you to take a selfie with a roadkill deer.
Yes.
one of my favorite ones, because it's pretty random and very doable. You just got to have the balls to do it. Just get out and do it.
Yep.
Pictures are great.
Thank you.
They're pretty good. You got pretty damn close. It looks like you're laying on the ground with it.
Yeah.
So we gotta go through this. We gotta go through this. Okay. Which is what's fun about this challenge, because telling the story of
how it started. Well, I mean, I would start off by saying this year, very little roadkill this year, I've noticed. I'm not sure if you
disappointing year for you.
Well, in the sense of, if I had this bet like any other year, It would have been a lot easier because we know New Jersey.
Now, are you thinking, are you so inspired that maybe it starts with the deer and, like, you could do, like, a collection, like a book.
A raccoon,
like
a squirrel.
Yeah, like a coffee table book of just selfies with the dead.
Hey, Grandma.
Yeah, start with like mice, work your way up to the deer, mm-hmm. and then at the end it's like you with like people's grandmas and aunts. I like it.
But so there wasn't a lot I could find out on the roads. I mean, I've even told people from other countries, like I remember being in Bulgaria and they have a ton of stray dogs over in Bulgaria.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them, I'm like, I can't believe I don't see roadkill everywhere. And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then they would come over to States, and I had a buddy, and he wanted to go to a shop, so I drove him down to the Six Flag Outlets. And every, like, 3 miles, he's, like, looking at the side of the roads, and he's kind of like, is this happen every year? I'm like, I told you.
Now, you think that's a testament to the hard-working Bulgarians that clean it up instantly? And the lazy Americans that take forever? Or is it just we get a shitload more roadkill?
Our animals are dumber than theirs. That's the answer. I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess in a sense, dogs have a sense of, like, begging, whereas, like, wildlife, they're just used to, I'll just go anywhere. I don't know the difference between nature and real life, so.
Mm.
But, yeah, so one day I was driving by and I saw there was a dead deer on 206.
You were like, yes!
Yeah. And I told you the day of the LARPing, I said my plan originally was to get up super early, do it, and then as we did LARPing, kind of like hand over, yeah, I'm in the lead. Yeah, screw you.
Yeah.
But so I decided to do it the Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And I got out there. And where the deer is at, there's not a lot of places to park. Like,
what time are we talking? Like, what time of day are we talking? Give us the whole setting.
I would say I started around 10 a.m.
10 a.m. Okay. Yeah. So people are up.
Yeah.
People are up. It's That's church time. That's people get up for their Sunday morning events. There's football on in a little while, getting ready.
Mm-hmm.
You're out there with a hot deer.
Well, yeah. I mean, here's the whole story. So it's I see the deer, and I was going to park on the shoulder and, like, do it. But 206, really fast traffic. Like, the second I kind of park and cars go by, I can feel my car kind of sway a little bit. So I'm like, all right, this ain't going to work. So I went to a back road, and I had to walk up. And unfortunately, the closest back road was probably, like, an eighth of a mile away, so I had to do a decent walk.
Uh-huh.
So one thing I did, I'm like, all right, let me promote this. I went on Periscope and kind of like, as I was walking, talking about what I'm planning to do. Yeah. And
how come I didn't get like an alert?
I don't know. Maybe it's.
You have to follow someone on Periscope too?
It was kind of weird. Like, I was getting like people from Kazakhstan and Russia and all that. And I'm like, how would it pop up on your phone? I don't get that.
Okay.
But, I mean, the greatest introduction as I started, as I swapped it to my face and started talking, was the first comment of, you're ugly.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Like, literally, first person, hey, welcome to the, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, I did my walk up to the deer and turned the camera to it. And, again, these people from other countries, they're almost, like, shocked. They're like, does this happen a lot? Did you kill it? What? Are you going to eat it? And I tried to explain.
You
got to
find a way to put this video on our page.
Yeah, we'll have to figure it out. Yeah. So I'm kind of there, and traffic's coming left and right. I'm trying to figure out the best way to, like, take this photo.
Right.
And it took about a few minutes. Traffic kept on coming, and I was kind of in the fence. I'm like, do I care if somebody sees me do it? Do I not care about? So I tried to wait for an opening, and I kind of got an opening, and I got my first picture, which was the one you got with me, like, smiling by the deer.
So now you're laying down with it, kind of, or crouched down?
I kind of crouched down by the deer, and I kind of did the photo.
He's dead as shit.
It must have, whoever hit him must have hit him in the backside, because, like, you look at the front end, he looks perfectly fine. I go to the side, his asshole is just torn up. It's like,
well, then you and the deer were a match.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So I did the photo, uh-huh. and I took off. And I looked at the photo, and I kind of see it like I don't have the full deer in there. And I'm not thrilled with the photo.
You weren't thrilled with the exposure, the framing.
It's one of those I kind of sit and go, all right, is Scott going to be like, oh, this is a little BS? Because I'm even a little bit far away, and I don't take selfies, so... Yeah. It took me like a good 5 minutes. I'm like, what the hell is the angle for this? I don't have a selfie stick.
Okay.
So I ate breakfast and I'm like, all right, I'm going to go back. And
wait. So you went back to the apartment?
No. I went to the Chester Diner.
Okay. So you went to the diner, ate breakfast, looked at your pictures while like eating your egg sandwich and whatnot. And you're like, this ain't good enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. One. I appreciate the effort, okay? Mm. I appreciate the promotion of the podcast, thinking podcast first, yeah. Which is getting bad, by the way. That's a whole other story. I get up, and this is all I think about. I just get up. I'm supposed to be working. I'm emailing everything I can think of. I'm emailing. I'm looking into marketing and all, whatever.
I mean, I appreciate it just because I wish I could – being that's fine. I mean, like, sometimes you're, like, texting me about podcast 7-1 reply, and I'm at the job I somewhat don't appreciate. And
well, I should be doing that, too. I mean, but, like, a lot of times I'll do it when I have, like, 10 free minutes or whatever, yeah. And then I'll just blast them out or have ideas before I go to work. Anyway, we're getting off topic.
All right. So
you ate your breakfast.
So I turned back, and I was going to go park.
Like
in
a true
kind of
artist.
Same place.
This is not good.
This is bullshit.
This is terrible. Terrible.
The lighting, no.
The lighting, no. The framing, no. The deer just has no face. It has no expression.
No flavor. Why is he taking this selfie with this deer? So I was going to go to the same road I parked the last time, and it's a little bit off-stretched. There's like a neighborhood there and like people walking by, and I'm like, all right, I don't want to park my car and like leave it where people are kind of going, what's going on? What's this guy doing
now,
here?
Now, when you did the first one, did anybody like walk by at all?
No.
Okay.
So, all right. So I pull out and trying to find a place to park, and I turn around and I go down this other back row, and I'm like, all right, there's a little gravel area. I'm going to park right there. Right before the gravel part is a big rock. And I go over that big rock. And it's the perfect size where my car gets stuck.
No shit.
I had to wait an hour and a half for AAA to come with boards to pull my car out in order for me to take a picture with a dead deer.
So, your car gets stuck. Now, does this give you the time to really perfect your picture?
No, I didn't even think. I was more scared because, I see the rock there, but I'm thinking more, like, the tire is in the mud. So I'm trying to put, like, some blankets down there and stuff like that, see if it'll pull it out. And as I'm doing it, like, it's just spinning, and I'm seeing, like, smoke from my axle. So I'm just saying to myself, oh, my God, I fucked up my car. For a dead deer selfie. So I'd spent the hour and a half waiting for the guy to show up. I'm like, please show up. Please don't be an axle problem. Don't be a fucking car problem. And the guy showed up, and he was cool about it. Like, I told him, like, he even saw, like, I should have took a picture. It's, like, literally, like, a clear gravel area.
Uh-huh.
And then one rock. Any other angle I would have took to that area.
So was any damage done to the car?
No. He basically had to put it up.
Just your ego.
Yeah. He had to put it up on a jack. He had a ton of boards and had to slowly, like, drive over it, and everything was free. So now it's, like, 12:30, and I'm a little miserable, wasting half of my Sunday after, yeah, after having the headache and the LARPing from the day before.
And LARP weekend, headache, dead deer, car stuck, it's awesome.
We didn't start the fire. So I just said, screw it. I parked back in the old area, but a little bit closer to the highway where it's not near the neighborhood where somebody would have been like, what's going on here? And I just waited for the perfect time, and it took about 15 minutes of like cars driving by. And one time I heard a beep of a horn, and I thought nothing of it. So But finally, I got back there. I had an opening. Got down there. I did the picture where I got kind of like a drunk man face.
This is a saga. Okay.
And I finally got, and it made me so happy and excited. And I got back to the car, and like 5 minutes later, I get a text from Linda Goucher. She's like, "Man, you walk far. What the hell are you doing out here?"
No way.
She passed me as I was attempting to get to the deer to do the selfie.
Oh, my. All right. So Linda is a mutual friend we have. Mm-hmm. Okay. So she drove past and saw you walking towards the deer to photo op with it.
Well, she didn't know what I was doing. Because she sees me from time to time. She drives up to Flanders for the shop, right?
Uh-huh.
And I do my walks down 206 just for my exercise. She's like, "Well, why are you doing it?" I'm like, "It's just exercise." So her first thought was, I walked from Flanders down to Chester.
Mm.
I'm like, let me get it on the podcast, and then I'll explain it to you. I don't want this really getting just yet.
Wow. Okay, so so your car gets stuck. You spend basically your 4 hours, 5 hours on your Sunday.
Yeah. Also, while I'm trying to find a parking spot, my work is trying to call me to ask me questions.
That'd be great if they like video chatted you and you accidentally hit like accept while you're like while you're taking the picture.
That's my concern. Like if I'm about to take the selfie and a phone call comes in.
Wow. And what did the people on Periscope say when you were doing the deer thing?
They were kind of interested. Like I was trying to explain to them. Like I named it hashtag Shenanigans Showdown.
Nice.
And I was explaining exactly why you're getting me periscoping, walking down the street, and getting ready for it. And I kept on trying to relay, Google verbal shenanigans for iPod, Stitcher, all that fun stuff, Podbean.
Well, Berlo, hard-earned 5 points, correct?
10.
Oh, that's a 10!
Yes.
Damn it. I made him too easy for you. No. Hard-earned 10 points. That puts you back
15 to 10.
In
yes.
the lead, 15-10. Yeah.
Now, one other thing we kind of talked about, I have a replacement one for you.
Yes, just about to get to that.
Yeah, so one of them we originally had was Scott had to play a game of Jai Lee with somebody, with an expert of some sort. And when I think you originally
said beat
and win a point or something like that. But, I mean, off the air, we kind of talked about, like, all right, just play the game. But,
yeah, right.
As we kind of looked into it, because I did some research to try to figure out these weird things, and I did see Jai Lee, New Jersey. I'm like, oh, this is awesome as a 20-pointer.
Mm-hmm.
As we kind of researched more, we found out that the Jai Lee, New Jersey is a restaurant in Dover, New Jersey called Jai Lee.
Dover, New Jersey, right next to Table 42, where our show will be February 21st. Woo! Comedy show.
Yeah, so, and as I Googled try to find some people that's Jai Lee, and I emailed a guy in Florida. I'm like, dude, is there anything in New Jersey? He's like, closest you have to is Hartford, Connecticut, and it's non-regulation. And I'm like, well, if it's non-regulation, I can't have Scott playing that.
Yeah, that's all I need. Drive out to Hartford and die for some stupid-ass dank.
So I had to come up with a replacement 20, and I think I got a
this
really
is a 20-pointer.
Yes.
Okay.
This is your replacement 21. Scott, you need to do an ugly sweater party for Christmas in July at the Jersey Shore. As in, wear an ugly sweater in July and hang out at the Jersey Shore.
All right. So I have to wear a Christmas sweater down at the Jersey Shore, whether it's on the beaches or the bars or in the middle of July.
In the middle of July.
All right, buddy. Challenge accepted. Yeah. I got a couple months to do that. I got to make sure it's in July. Mm-hmm. That could be how you get me. Like, I'd be like, oh, dude. Like, June 27th, bitch.
That'd be great.
Get back down the parkway. Wow. Well, Berlo, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations on your 10 points. So two solid 10-pointers. I got a podcast out of it. And then quite a story out of this one. Well, Berlo, it's guest time.
All right, man.
It's guest time. Let's shift it, the attention off of us as much as I know you love it and you know you need it.
I do love me.
And, yeah, you do love you as long as you love you because the feeling's not
it's
really
It's one
mutual.
To nothing.
So why don't you introduce our next guest here?
Coming off of yet again.
What was that? You were like, Berlo, why don't you introduce the next guest? I'm coming off. You got like fumbly for a second.
Yeah,
you like
yeah.
fumbled your mic. Mm-hmm. Berloom, why don't you not say? Ah!
Berloom, no introduce. Berloom, co-host.
I don't do the introducing here. That's your job.
Let's try this again. We're going to cut that out, right?
Oh, no. Berlu, why don't you introduce the next guest?
Well, coming to us next is a person who was also on Ink Masters, but also the rivalry season.
No. UFC fighter.
Oh, we're
doing a UFC fighter.
Oh, all right. Sorry.
If you think any of this is getting cut, you're crazy. See, what we like to do is we like to record beforehand and then introduce our guests sometime. And we did an interview for a later episode, so Berlo might have teased it, but even better, he's making himself sound retarded. Berlo,
not hard.
Why don't you do the intro?
Take three, action. Coming to us next is a gentleman who is an MMA fighter. He was recently called up to the UFC in UFC 195 with a huge victory over Kyle Noak. It's the great white Alex Morano.
All right. Alex Morano.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Hello. Hold on.
There you are.
There we go. Is this Alex Morano?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how's it going, man? It's Scott Brennan here and my co-host here, Michael Berlo. Welcome to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast.
Cool, thanks. Yeah, I actually had just stepped off the mats and I had one of my senior students finish the kickboxing class. I'm glad to be here.
That's awesome. Like, we were talking, we were trying to schedule a time. It's first thing that's pretty awesome is, I guess one, it's for survival, and I'm sure you got to make money off of it. But two, you said you were teaching from like 3 to 8 o'clock today.
Right. Yeah. So I had two private lessons, and then I taught some kids classes, and then some adults classes.
So what are you teaching? MMA? Or are you teaching?
No. So my private lessons are usually gi jiu-jitsu, sometimes kickboxing. I like the kickboxing more. So I did two of those, and then I did a kid's jiu-jitsu class, another teen's jiu-jitsu class, and then an adult's kickboxing class.
Nice.
Is that like a purely defensive kind of class, or?
No. So for like the jiu-jitsu, it's like half self-defense, half sport jiu-jitsu. And then the kickboxing, it's pretty much competition-style kickboxing, but that's also like super, it works very well for self-defense as well. You know, it's really good tight guard, good head movement, and straight punches, essentially.
Now, let's rewind just a little bit here. First off, how long have you been studying martial arts? How long have you been in the fighting game? Like, how did this all start for you?
Cool. So, yeah, so I've been doing this almost exactly 9 years. I remember because I started in January of 2007, I think. I was 16 years old. Man, I was just a big fan of Pride and UFC. You know, I had a few friends in high school. One of my friends' dads was a professional boxer, heavyweight back in like the 80s. So they were always really interested in like martial arts and MMA, especially like old school UFC and Pride. So we would watch those fights. And every time I'd have friends over, we'd play some cards and like box in my game room or go box outside. And so 1 year for Christmas, my dad had got me a membership to a boxing gym, and they offered Brazilian jiu-jitsu and boxing and kickboxing. And man, I went one day and fell in love with it. I actually took like an in-gym fight, like a smoker fight. I know they're frowned upon, but this was a while back. And won with a head kick. And after that, I knew competing was for me. So, it's been fights and then eventually UFC.
That's quite an accomplishment. 9 years sounds like a long time, but that's really not a long time from you to go from, getting trained to being in the UFC a couple weeks ago. That's, that's a pretty awesome accomplishment.
Cool. Thank you very much. So, yeah, so it had been just over 5 years. It was 5 years and 1 month from going pro to having my first UFC fight. So, I mean, it was a good path, you know, not too long, not too short. I did deal with one injury, you know, leading up to that. So I didn't have much time off either. So I was pretty active.
Hmm. So I'm just wondering, so you play cards and then you go out boxing. Has anybody like beat you in a hand of cards and you took it out a little too severe on the,
No. Back when we used to box, there was absolutely zero technique involved.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, you know, what's interesting, it's something you said to me that just registered in my head. It's cool to see that UFC fans are now in UFC. Like, you know, when you hear like baseball players and football players say like, oh, I was a fan of this guy, you know, this team, and it's amazing to be here where they were. You know, UFC's now long enough where the actual fans, you know, you said you grew up on Pride and UFC. Now the fans are, it's been around long enough where you are now in it, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you bring that up, man. I actually had to get like kind of a reality check at the fights because I was so awestruck seeing all these fighters. Hmm. But now, like, not only, you know, it's competition now, so I actually had to kind of chill out on like, right, saying what's up to everybody, and I just kind of gotta, you know, really accept, you know, the position I'm in. And it's funny because, you know, I'm more of a fan than I'm a fighter, and fighting's my life. So, you know, it says a lot how much I enjoy watching it. Huh. But, you know, I don't follow any other sports. I really only watch like MMA, you know, UFC and Bellator's and like legacy fights. And I love watching like boxing and Glory and even jiu-jitsu matches now that like that Metamora style grappling, like the pro jiu-jitsu is a little more common. So so yeah, man, I love the sport, and it's funny, I'm sure I'm gonna end up fighting some guys that I really you know, not only looked up to but like would watch tape on to find new techniques.
Hey, you grew up in Texas, right?
Correct.
Now when people think of Texas, they think of like those old school brawl outside fights and all. Is there anything to that, or just when you're in the mode it's just pure professional style?
It's funny, you know, in every state and city, especially with like a big predominant MMA scene, there's going to be your low level shows and your high level shows. Like, for example, Legacy started out of Houston, and you know, that's like, you know, one of the top five shows, you know, on the planet, you know, in a big feeder, you know, company to the UFC.
Right.
I have seen some pretty low level shows though. Some of the worst, well, not some of the worst, one of the worst was in Louisiana. They fought in like a rodeo pit, so the guys were warming up in like horse stalls on the dirt ground.
Oh yeah.
It was pretty funny. But no, Texas, if anything, Texas has a pretty good MMA scene, especially in Houston.
Right.
So we have quite a few high level shows to work with.
Yeah. So you know, like I see, you know, someone like you, like, you know, I would say I'm a casual MMA fan. I like to go to the big fights. I like to you know, go to the restaurant down the street to watch them and whatnot. Now, where as a young kid do you see it? Like, you know, because it wasn't always everywhere. It wasn't always on Fox and pay-per-view. You know, like where covered by ESPN and covered by where were you seeing this when you were a kid 9 years ago?
Mostly on pay-per-views, and this was kind of in the golden age of YouTube back when you could still, I don't know if you guys remember, but YouTube back in the day, you could watch like full episodes of TV shows and you could watch full fights like all day long until it started to get way more popular and you know, all the laws and rules kind of started to be really in play. But I would watch a lot on the internet.
Damn laws.
You know, back then, and then most of it was the pay-per-views, like the UFC pay-per-views. I remember one of the first ones I watched was Randy Couture versus Chuck Liddell 2, and that was like the first time I really sat down and watched all the fights and talked with my dad and my buddy, and we would also watch a lot of the Pride fights. And it's funny, you know, the first time I sat down and watched some Pride fights, you know, we were into playing cards, we were looking to bet on fights. I bet against Fedor when he fought Mark Coleman, and that was a terrible, terrible bet.
That would... How far back were you watching matches? Like in the early UFC days, they were just nuts where it's just like, all right, you show up, you got five fights tonight if you're lucky.
No, so when I first started watching, there were that cards. It was like UFC 54, you know, Bad Blood or whatever.
Gotcha.
And it was when they had like the actual, like the prelims and the main card. So it was a little more, you know, there were more rules. It was a little more, you know, I guess, you know,
yeah,
evolved at that point.
Because it's funny, we came pretty close. We were, I'm not sure if you remember, Emmanuel Yarborough. We were going to have him on our podcast. We interviewed Sharon Alexander, who is the world's largest sportswoman. She's a sumo wrestler, and she had a crush on Emmanuel, who also eventually became a sumo wrestler. But he was like in the he was in the original UFC days doing those kind of fights, and unfortunately, he passed away like about 3 weeks ago.
Oh yeah, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. So, first, Alex, how old are you?
I'm 25.
25. Okay. So, when does it become, you know, when does the decision to, you know, maybe not going to the quote unquote real world or whatnot, when does the decision to become pursue fighting and pursue martial arts actually become a reality?
You know, that's a cool question. You know, a lot of guys ask me that. So, when I was 18, I had just graduated high school, and a friend who trained with us had a really good job here in the States, and he was a South African guy. And something happened with his job to where they had lost their visa or their you know, the way they stay here, and they had to go back to Africa, and there was really no jiu-jitsu. There was a lot of judo, not a lot of jiu-jitsu. So he actually opened up an affiliate school, and I went and taught there. I was a purple belt at the time, and I went and taught there for like 4 months. And when I came back, man, I knew college wasn't for me. I worked with my dad for a little while. He has like a construction company, and I was a foreman for there for maybe a year or two. And then I started teaching classes for kind of fun at the gym, and then they started paying me for it. And then I started, you know, fighting professionally. And man, as long as I can remember, it's been maybe 6 or 7 years. I've been doing this, you know, every day, pretty much 2 times a day, you know, and I'd like to do that my whole life. I teach now. So, I mean, like my career path is chosen. You know, all the competition is just a bonus.
That's awesome. Yep. Question, go ahead.
So let's go to like your big opportunity.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your big opportunity. So it's near Christmas time, I believe. And, you,
I'm sorry, what's that?
Just rephrase. Is someone getting punched in the head in the background?
Hey, I'm in an interview. Can you help these guys out?
Yeah, I was just talking
to you. I'm right in the middle of the interview, dude. Is that okay? Yeah. I'm sorry, you guys are breaking up. What'd you say?
No problem, man.
No, we were talking about your big break that you had. So you've been fighting with Legacy for quite a while. And I believe you got a call like right before Christmas, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I had fought for the Legacy title and won December, I think, 4th. And then I had a cut on my eye, and I had taken a jiu-jitsu match and was training for that, but I couldn't do much grappling or like sparring or anything. And maybe, you know, it was 12 days before the UFC fight, so it was about 2 weeks before my jiu-jitsu match. You know, the week of Christmas, I got a call from Joe Silva at the gym. And it couldn't have been happier, and it accepted the fight, man. It was like best case scenario.
Like, were you still like in a good fighting mood? I mean, were you sitting back going, "Oh, I can't wait! I can't wait to open up the presents and all that fun stuff"? Or can you even take a break?
It's funny. I had to skip Thanksgiving, you know, because I had fought, you know, early December. And dude, no. When I got the UFC call, I went into fight like diet and fight camp that second, man. I live for these fights. I don't mind. Like everyone says, fighters do so much sacrificing and this and that. I don't think it's sacrificing because I'm doing stuff that I enjoy. So no, I was more than willing to take the fight. I was on weight, you know, I was in shape, and dude, I'm telling you, it's best case scenario for what could have played out.
It's like if we were in the minor leagues of radio, like we are. You know, if Sirius came up to us and was like, "We got a show at 6 o'clock tonight. You got to be ready to go." We'd be trained. You know, we'd be ready to go. Adrenaline would be pumping and whatnot. Alex, so you go to that fight. You go to the UFC fight, which is obviously, you know, a dream come true in some aspect. What do you notice differently when you go to this UFC event than all the other fights you've been in?
Man, I'm sorry, guys. You're breaking up pretty bad.
Oh,
see, that sounds clear right there.
This sound okay?
Yeah. If you could repeat that question, please.
Yeah, sure. I'll edit it all together anyways. But
oh, okay, cool.
No, I was saying you get this call up to UFC, which has to be a dream come true. Like, oh my God, I all the things I've been working for. What right away do you notice about the UFC that's different than all the other stuff you've done?
Man, I'm sorry. I got like half of that. Are you asking the difference between the UFC and other promotions?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, man, it blew my mind. Like the second so not only the second I took the fight, like I had to go get a bunch of medical tests done and all of that stuff. You know, I had like Christmas week to do it. So most places were closed on like Thursday, Friday, and I took the fight on that Monday. So man, by Wednesday, I had everything done. The UFC planned all that, which is cool. They got my flights. I filled out the paperwork. You know, that just seemed pretty natural, but pretty normal. When I got there, dude, I had rides everywhere. Most of the time in limos, like,
nice.
Food was taken care of, room was taken care of, transport was taken care of, dude, all the really sweet gear. Honestly, I was not a huge fan of the Reebok deal as a spectator, but after becoming an employee and like not only not having a choice but getting all that stuff, I actually really thought the gear was cool, especially the cornerman outfits. And I didn't say nice things about it before, but after getting it all, man, it really changed my views on it. The money kind of sucks with it, but you know, considering I'm in the UFC, which is the coolest thing in the world, and you know, we're essentially getting free money, so I'm okay with all of that. But no, the way the staff took care of the fighters blew my mind. That was the coolest thing by far.
Now, the fight itself, it seems like right out of the go, you just wanted to go out there and fight, which is freaking awesome. I mean, was that your plan all along, not to just sit back or whatever, not to be tense and just take the fight to James?
No, hell no, man. A lot of guys don't like to fight in fights. Like, it's funny. The guy's a much more accomplished and skillful fighter than myself. But like, but Rashad Evans is a good example. You know, he sits kind of in like counter fighting distance and doesn't really push the action. You know, he got that crazy knockout over Liddell, but that's because Liddell was coming forward hard. And I am not about winning rounds and winning points. I am in there to finish the fight, and that's a big reason why I think I beat Noak, and a big reason why I think Lawler beat Condit is because, you know, he was really swinging to finish. You know, I was really swinging to finish, and they were trying to win rounds. And not only do people not want to see rounds, you know, one, you know, guys want to see, you know, other guys going for it. And in every fight, you know, I'll be cautious and technical, but I'm definitely going to go for the finish any chance I can.
Now, Alex, I got a question, like, on a more personal level. When you dedicate yourself to a sport like this, training and eating and, you know, what kind of things do you sacrifice in your personal life as far as, you know, your time, your maybe going out at night? And is it hard for you, for people to understand, or are you surrounded by a very supportive kind of community?
So no, yeah, I hang out with, like, other than my family, almost all of my friends are from the gym. I mean, I still see my old high school buddies, but you know, it's funny. People say I overtrain all the time and train too much, and I don't do a lot of strength and conditioning. But that's because I love sparring and rolling. It's like that's what I fill my days up with. And it's funny. It's been so long that I don't even know what like a normal, I guess like the average life would be. I do not drink. I just not because like I'm super healthy, but I just don't like, you know, being drunk or drunk people more than anything else. So I don't go out often.
He's going to hate us.
Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, another big reason, and I really haven't been in any fights outside of competition, and I've had chances, but I've always thought, like, man, I don't want to, like, break my hands or get a cut, so I can't train. You know, if I can't train, I can't work. You know, if I can't do that, I can't fight. So I've always lived a pretty safe lifestyle, and it's mainly training and then watching fights on the weekends.
I mean, that's kind of interesting. Have you ever come across that where a guy's just like, oh, you don't look so tough, I can take you, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you ever come across that, or how do you handle people like that?
You know what? I have not. The only thing that I've like got in between, like, some of my friends who are not fighters and guys who are being, like, you know, I guess lack of a better term, bullies, you know, in like social settings for adults. And I've gotten in between them, and like, I think not only they can, because my ears are like horribly cauliflowered. So guys can almost always tell, but like the confidence of like stepping in between somebody, like, hey, man, you got to leave now or things are going to get bad. You know, guys usually see that. But no, I really don't put myself in those situations whatsoever. I can't think of the last time that's happened.
So you have this big fight in UFC, and you obviously pull off a great, you can call it an upset, whatnot. So what is the future now? Like, what are we preparing for? Obviously, you're going to always stay focused, but what's on the horizon for you?
Cool. So I've had a couple injuries that I've just dealt with and fought through. And now that I have not only the contract, but like a 6-fight winning streak and most importantly, some money, I'm actually going to go get some stuff fixed. But my doctor says I will be able to start training like 100% in August. So I have like maybe 6 months before fight camp starts. So maybe like 6 to 8 month time frame, but definitely before this year ends. I'd like to get 2 fights before.
What's like a major injury you're taking care of finally?
What's that?
What's like a major injury you're finally taking care of? That's kind of interesting.
Cool. So, I mean, I guess it wouldn't be much of a secret. I don't want to get out there too much, but I've had some pretty bad knee problems, and one of them I let go a little too long, and it caused for some other problems to start. And it's all 100% fixable, which is great. And, man, I got hooked up with, like, Texas's best knee doctor, a guy named Walt Lowe and David Abbasi. They're like, you know, Walt Lowe did Adrian Peterson's ACL. He works on the Texans and the Rockets. Like, and one of the guys just, like, walked into my gym, and that's how I got hooked up with them. But some knee surgery, and then I got to get my wisdom teeth pulled. So
that's all right. You'll be okay.
Nothing too crazy.
You'll survive.
The knee surgery is pretty extensive.
Well, if you want, you just go in a fight without one of those mouthpieces. I'm sure somebody will take care of that for you.
I'm sorry, man. What will you repeat that one more time?
No, I'm just saying if you just go into your next fight without a mouthpiece, I'm sure somebody can. You just tell them, hey, bro, hit me on the left side. I got to get rid of that one.
It's funny, man. So many people asked me if I was going to have the UFC try to pay for my knee. And, like, ethically, it's not the right thing to do. But, like, the last thing I want to do is, like, have my name pop up in that company and, like, a red flag pop up. So, like, it was my injury before the UFC. Like, I already had the plans to get it fixed. And I picked up UFC fights. That's, like, a lot of extra money and the contract. So I don't mind at all, you know, fixing my own problems and stuff. And man, it was cool. The UFC really, like, really – came back to make sure our injuries were cool. Asked me what was wrong, and I had like a sore thumb and a sore knee, and I put that in the file. And then like a week later, they called asking if I needed help finding doctors, and I told them I would take care of everything myself. But dude, the UFC is a company. They get a lot of flack, you know, in social media because we only see like fighter pay issues and stuff. But dude, I love working with this company, man. That's way better than I thought on like a personal level.
That's awesome. So like, are you do you have like a close family unit?
Yeah. My direct family, like my mom and dad and brothers live in Houston, you know, all within about 10 miles of each other.
So I wanted to ask you, like, when you're going through these kind of fights and you're training, like, wow, that sounded like an awesome chant in the background, but, it was pretty good. I wanted to be in it. I'm jealous. I'm just podcasting and drinking beer.
Yeah, but, that's my boy Ricky. He just won his fifth fight. He was the main event for a local show. He's 5-0. He'll be in the UFC soon, but I had him finish the class.
Oh,
yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Ricky
Tercios, man. He puts on fights of the night. Dude's an animal. Does not stop moving. Trains at Alpha Male.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So my question was going to be like, you know, like your poor mother, you know, like we all know our mothers and how protective they are and whatnot. So when she sees you taking punches and getting hurt and grappling and getting in there, you know, like all these fights, obviously you're accomplished, but how does she handle this?
It's funny. It took practice. You know, I've been doing this 10 years and my family is extremely supportive. Like my brother, my dad, and my mom, and my best friend who got me into MMA, they all flew down to Vegas
awesome.
To watch my fight. They're always at all my fights. My first jiu-jitsu match, it was an in-house, like an in-gym competition, very friendly. She couldn't watch that. And now she's like yelling at me to kill the guy. But I mean, you know, thankfully I've won like significantly more fights than I've lost. You know, that's a big reason why I'm in the UFC. But they've also seen like the worst of it. Like they, you know, I got one TKO loss on my record and I got dropped pretty good. It was kind of an early stoppage. I was on a double. They see me go down before. You know, they've seen me lose decisions and they've seen me bleed and they know the reality of the sport. And I always give them like a prep talk. I'm like, you guys, you know, look at the best in the world. You know, they've lost before. You know, it's going to happen. Just do not give me any extra stress about it. Like, you know, and I accept the reality of these consequences. Like it is okay. So they're all pretty cool. And the biggest thing is they know I'm okay with it. So they just give me support, man. My brother actually like runs my website and handles all my like Photoshop and shirt design and everything. So my family's pretty, you know, kind of incorporated in my MMA career.
Now you have the nickname of the Great White. Is it because you like sharks or you just don't tan that well?
So what, I am incredibly white. I actually got it because in my earlier days, I know you guys saw how I fought Noka. I was pretty aggressive, but I really used good distancing. But I'm super aggressive, and that's how I got the nickname. It was funny. We were talking about like fight names, and it's super douchebaggy to think of your own fight name. And we were sitting in the gym, and one of my boxing buddies, a guy we call Peanut, he was like, man, you're like a great white. And like my shirt was off. And it just everyone laughed and it clicked, man. And I was like, you know what? That's not a bad one. So we kind of stuck with that. But it's usually from aggression.
See,
and people,
now,
people will see that too.
I'm coming for the nickname because I guarantee if me and you were shirtless next to each other, I'm going to be whiter.
Hey, that's impressive. That's not easy to do.
The greater white, Scott Brennan.
I'm one of those guys, if it's like a full moon, I got to put sunblock on. If the TV's on too long, got to be careful.
So, getting back to the Kyle fight, I mean, there was a lot of controversy out there. I thought it was like a great fight back and forth, but there's been a lot of people crying about the judging and stuff. I mean, did it take anything away from your victory, or is there anything where you want to have like a rematch with Kyle to kind of settle that whole controversy?
One, I would absolutely have a rematch. It's funny, I didn't have to watch much tape on him because I've seen almost all of his fights happen as they happen like live on TV. I'm a huge fan of the UFC and Kyle Noak, even crazy. But no, like the difference between Noak and I is he got suspended for 6 months. I did a jiu-jitsu competition the next week, and like he took a significantly greater amount of damage. His nose was broke, his arm was super hyperextended, and he was bleeding like horribly. I rewatched the fight and like slow-mo'd all the exchanges. I got hit by one right hand while standing, and then a couple of body kicks that didn't hurt at all. Like, you know, the point system for MMA is outrageous. He was active, but he did no damage. He didn't really come forward that much. Like, I clearly thought I won that fight.
Yeah, that was a great fight, man. You did really well. I mean, like I said, I mean, as I looked over the videos, thinking to myself, man, you had 11 days notice, and you were just out there trying to, lack of a better term, kill the guy. No, I mean, that's the kind of fights I love watching.
Hell yeah, man. Me too. Those are the fights I love doing. Just the only thing is, now that I'm UFC, these are like the best martial artists on the planet. I cannot get too wild. And yeah. And that's something my coaches and I have been working on. I actually had a boxing match that did not go my way. I was a big favorite, hurt the guy early, and ended up running into some big punches. And ever since that fight, I've had, I think, 4 MMA fights, won them all. But like the fight back, was in Legacy against a guy named Marcus Andrusia, and it was like a flawless victory. I didn't get hit one time, you know, hurt him, took him down, took his back, and pounded him out. And ever since then, man, I haven't taken many flush shots, and I don't plan on getting hit much, you know, like that's that awesome anymore, obviously. But yeah, so I need to be a little more patient and technical when I fight. But man, if I can throw one of those big bombs, whether it's a left or right hand, I will, and you guys will see that in future fights.
So that's awesome. Alex, We had James Krause on a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. We had James Krause on, and he was talking about fighting and the commitment it takes and how you do need some kind of support structure around you. Now, how do you make a living off of fighting at this point yet, or do you have to do multiple? I know you teach, which is pretty awesome. It's got to be cool to see your jiu-jitsu teacher kicking some ass on the pay-per-view. But do you have to divide your time between living and training, or do you have some kind of support system to do it?
So no, so the teaching, not only do I love it, but I also, like, for example, this kickboxing class that I was just teaching, I'd run the guys through some techniques that I would do with them, and then we would spar. So I get a lot of my good technical training in with my team.
Oh, nice.
The teaching, again, considering it's so low stress, you know, it doesn't take much time away from me. And yeah, I do pay my bills with teaching classes and doing private lessons. But like now that I'm in the UFC, like I'm going to be going to different fight camps for like 1 or 2 weeks out of maybe like 3 or 4 weeks out of like an 8-week fight camp, and definitely get some good cross training in. For my last few fights, I drive all around Houston. I train at a bunch of gyms here. So I've always been one to travel and find, you know, the best fighters to work with. But no, I never made a living fighting. That's why, you know, I say I found my career path. Everything else is just a bonus. I changed my mindset, though. After I got my first UFC paycheck, I'm about making some money in my MMA career. And,
yes,
and I know people complain about the pay. Dude, excluding bonuses, I got paid 5 times more than my biggest paycheck. And I fought for, like, main event shows. And honestly, for Legacy, they paid me pretty well.
Yeah.
And but, dude, this was just like, man, and I'm very frugal. I handle my money very well. So I save almost everything. And man, I'm set for like a solid like year if I needed to, for like rent and everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm as happy as I can be career-wise right now. I'm bummed I got to take some time off. But at the same time, I needed to heal a lot of stuff up. In 14 months, I had 8 fights, 1 boxing match, 1 kickboxing match, like 6 MMA fights, maybe 7 MMA fights, and 1 jiu-jitsu match. So like a pro jiu-jitsu match. So, man, I've been super active. And if it's up to me, dude, I'd fight as often as they let me.
It's really interesting because I'm telling you, just by hearing your voice, you sound enthusiastic. You sound happy where you're at and like what you've accomplished, which is really cool to hear, because sometimes you get the complaining.
Yeah.
You sound appreciative and happy and and obviously goal oriented, but you sound like you're like a guy that hit his goal and is like, holy shit, I'm here. I'm going to embrace every moment of it.
Cool. Yeah, it's cool you say that, man. It's funny. You know, I teach at a gym with quite a few students, and I teach a lot of class. And every January, I request the students set goals, whether it's on the mats or off the mats. And it was funny. Last year, I set a goal of three things: pro boxing debut, pro kickboxing debut, black belt in jiu-jitsu. I achieved all three of those things in my March, so I had to set new goals. And man, just like setting goals but having like a time frame to finish them is, in my opinion, the best kind of motivation to do it. And it's funny. I am very enthusiastic and very happy. I see so many people on this planet, live their life and do things they don't really like doing. And I'm like grateful and really lucky enough to do what I love every day. You know, I never feel like I got to work. The fight camps are hard, but fun. And I'm just very like thankful and grateful. And that makes me a happy person.
Now, in our last interview with James Krause, we tried to find out if there was anything that he does in his life that's kind of girly or whatever. I mean, you're a badass kickboxer, UFC. Can you give us something where it's kind of girly or something we can kind of chuckle at?
Man, I listen to heavy metal 24/7, so that's not going to help.
No,
that doesn't help.
No. I like cooking. I mean, I don't know if that's something.
You like cooking.
Give us like a rom-com, like a romantic comedy that you kind of you get misty at.
Man, I don't know, dude.
All you fighters, you won't give a chink in the armor. Yeah. You're too invincible.
Shit, man, I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I train and you know, play cards with my boys occasionally. I couldn't tell
you. Of course. It's always the manliest thing possible. I get it. It's always, we can't do anything wrong. We don't listen to Sheryl Crow every once in a while in the shower and cry when no one's looking. I get it.
I don't think I've cried in like 2 decades. No, I'm just kidding. It may be like 1 decade, but I'm not a
problem. First up, Alex, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a great hang, and we're definitely rooting for you. And real quick, before you go, if people want to say hi to you and check out your stuff, or they don't really know much about you, or you know, we got in touch with you through Twitter, like, how can fans check you out or maybe interact with you?
Cool. So one thing, man, I was always heartbroken when I saw, like, not only actors, but fighters especially who weren't cool to their fans. So I am, like, always super down to do pictures or answer questions or whatever. So, like, on Twitter and Instagram, I'm at Alex Morono MMA. And then on Facebook, just type my name in. If you guys ever want to shoot over a message or whatever, man, I'd be happy to respond. And
awesome.
And yeah, so just basic social media stuff. But I'm so glad I get to do this. And you guys, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no problem. Last question. Pleasure. Steven Seagal versus Van Damme. Who wins in the octagon?
Like modern day Steven Seagal Van Damme?
Whatever. If you want to do geriatric Seagal versus whatever you want to do, put the twist on
that'll
it.
That'll be on the prelims with geriatric.
All right, so I'll give you two answers. Modern day, I'm going to go with Steven Seagal because he probably weighs 200 more pounds than Van Damme, and I know Van Damme has some.
And he's
joint
way
issues.
Better with a pool cue.
I'd say in their prime, I got to go with Jean-Claude.
Yeah. Okay.
Alex, thank you so much for popping on, and good luck with all your fights in the future.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Have a good night.
All right, take care.
Welcome to intermission.
Yes. Let's take a little break.
All right, my
I
feet
hope
are
you
up.
Enjoying what you're hearing, but real quick, there's a couple people that help make this podcast possible. First off, Burlo, Super Bowl is coming.
Mm-hmm.
DraftKings.com still functioning.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, is there ever the biggest game of the year and one of the best betting sites in the world?
That's it, DraftKings.com. Please enter the promo code Shenanigans, Daily Fantasy Sports. Get yourself a discount and help keep the podcast going.
Yeah.
Keep the lights on here.
Exactly. And if Super Bowl's not your thing, NHL, NBA, NASCAR, they're all in there, buddies.
That's it. Let's also talk about Convenient Truth, a movie by a big fan of ours, Dom Bagnato.
Fantastic.
Go to contruthmovie.com right now. Enter the promo code Shenanigans. You get half off. That means $6.49 for the movie, and you're supporting the local arts. That is contruthmovie.com.
And $6.49 stays in my pocket. What a deal.
That's it. And finally, We are brought to you by Trivia Revolution. Trivia Revolution, combining craft beer and your best trivia. Just say no to corporate beer. Mm-hmm. Look all over New Jersey, Trivia Revolution, at all different bars, all different weekdays. Go to Trivia Revolution, follow them on Instagram and whatnot, and you will be a happy guy.
Exactly.
And if you want to come out and see yours truly host Trivia, Tuesday nights at Paragon Tap and Table.
Oh, my.
Now, back to our regularly scheduled podcast.
Sure. Here we go.
All right. And that was our interview with Alex Morono there. You know, pretty awesome. You know, pretty awesome story. Kind of came out of nowhere. And, you know, watch him, you know, hopefully stay relevant.
Yeah. I got to think with his win, he's going to be sticking around with UFC. I can't imagine him be like, yeah, thanks for finding a guy in 11 say no, it's a winning. See ya.
Yeah. So definitely another cool interview. So check him out and go tweet him and go talk to him. And plenty more to come. Burlow next week we got. Next week is a good one. I'm not even going to give that one away. But next one should.
I almost did.
Next one. Well, that might not even be next week. But next week we got some. We got a lot of guests scheduled. We got, you know, like we're 3 or 4 or 5 podcasts deep sometimes. Sometimes I have a hard time getting them out of the way. You know, but the way it's been going, you got to take them as you get them and figure it out afterwards.
Exactly.
So, Burlow, you were up. You're up 15-10.
Correct.
15-10. But you had a highly embarrassing weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have a few minutes left. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about comedy. Okay. I wanted to talk a couple episodes ago about comedy, but I guess like I've been really trying to hit mics a lot now, mm-hmm. and. It's weird. Like, I was on such a high, and the last couple, like, shows, quote-unquote, or mics I did, I have not been feeling right in my material. I haven't been set in my material. I don't know what it is. Memorization problems, you know, like, trying new stuff not... That feeling when you, I wanted to try that after you get off stage, like,
Mm-hmm.
But that's where I've been kind of at. I've been having some bookings, so I'm really trying to do more material, get out of some stuff. But now, as far as you, you've been in a little bit of a rut, you would call it, correct?
I would say so, yeah. Mm-hmm. I probably have lost a little passion in the last few months. I would say probably close to a year.
Why do you think that?
I would say there's a few factors. I guess it kind of started with, like, the whole fiasco with some people that we know, where I feel they were a little less trusting than I expect, where I'm starting to wonder if the assistance I got was pretty much warranted by my talent versus the, hey, I'm using you.
I can see that.
And it just kind of got in my head, and kind of noticed as we like stopped doing the the other podcasts that ID quote unquote let me help you out and helping out with shows just really never started pushing through and not really getting the you know the hey I got an opening blah 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 so I just kind of. I guess in the end, it's a question myself, my material, and my desire to want to do it. I kind of said during the interview with Dom when he was talking about, you know, stand up. I remember talking about I feel more comfortable in a podcast scenario. I feel I'm a good feeder and come off of people's words, if you will, versus just going up there and, hey, kind of enjoy me, because I do know, you know, I know that most people, I'm socially awkward, and it's kind of hard when you have 8 minutes, when it's hard to connect with people I've known for weeks and months and years, it's kind of hard to do it with a bunch of strangers for 8 minutes.
See, I disagree there. I think it's about just finding that voice, you know, like, because you've definitely had, I've worked with you many times, you definitely had sets where you've done very well. So I don't think that's the case at all. I think it's just more of you, I see you overthinking things at this point. Before, where you were just letting it rip, you know, like just letting it rip, and you knew your material, you trusted your material, we worked on it like all the time, and mm-hmm. I think it's just, you got to knock that rust off.
I mean, it's that. I mean, I also have been questioning other things. I actually like took one of them online, and it's stupid as it sounds because everybody does it with WebMD and stuff like that. Like, I was, mm-hmm. I took a little small test online with ADHD, and mm-hmm. I noticed like 90% of my stuff is like highly pointing to a possibility of that. Or
now, one of the symptoms having difficulty introducing the next guest was that.
That was just oh, you want me to do that?
That was great.
Yeah.
Okay. So you think you're self-diagnosing yourself then?
I don't. It could be ADHD. I know I've questioned if I'm full on depression or not.
Okay.
I'm not really a guy who's like goes out of his way to go to doctors. Kind of like, oh,
yeah, me neither.
Let's figure this out, kind of thing. So I don't know. I mean, I'm almost 40 right now. Could be a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
So
what do you, so as far as like comedy, where do you, what do you see yourself at now? Like, what do you,
I really don't know where I'm at. I mean, I know plenty enough of people. I know if I have desire to do it, I can go out there. I know once I'm comfortable, I'm all right out
right.
there, but I can't deny there's a part of me that's just kind of saying I don't like,
like the next chapter, maybe try something else, or
yeah, I talked about improv.
That'd be cool.
Thought about other stuff. I mean, it's kind of hard to say where I'm at. I mean, there's different because, like, kind of like what we talked about earlier. I've been feeling really tired. I don't think I've been having good sleeping patterns as of late.
Right.
And then it's like I go home. It's the only thing I want to do is like really relax. And then, like, even if work just calls, even for like the simplest thing, I know I can solve in like 2 minutes. I get aggravated. When I had to get to tweeting, I gotta kind of get in my head. I gotta start the tweeting. Gotta get the broadcast out. Get more numbers and items like that. And it's just in the back of my head. I haven't had a point where I'm like, man, I really. Be like writing a bit right now.
So maybe your focuses are shifting towards maybe the podcast a little bit, towards maybe doing improv or doing something different, or you're not really sure what you really want yet.
That's the best answer. I really don't know. I mean, I took an improv class once and I kind of liked it, but it didn't like go. I mean, I'm nowhere near where I can go. Hey, yo, Rich and Joe, let me just hang in there.
Have you considered interpretive dancing?
I can't dance for the lick of life.
It's interpretive.
Well, they'll interpret that I can't dance.
Well, like, I mean, I guess we'll keep checking in. I mean, like, I think I'd like, as far as, like, me and you, I'd love to see you come out to some mics again and just get that, the feet on the stage again kind of feeling. And even if it, you know, like, you overthink mics, it's like mm-hmm. No one's even fucking listening to begin with. And it's like, just to flush your material on it. The last time we wrote when we were down here, things were going well. Like, you even just were touching on some things that I think could work with you. So I think maybe it might be, like, developing a new act or, like, turning into a new delivery or something
Delivery might be nice. I mean, we kind of talk about less excitable, more monotone. And
yeah, playing with that. But, well.
Yeah, I'm not giving up or anything. Like, I got an offer to do the 8-minute dating Cabana Grill. So
there you
I'll
go.
Be doing that. I'll be on Saison and Neckbone sometime soon, if or after this. I don't know when this will air, yeah. But I mean, I'm not saying no to it, but there hasn't been a lot where I'm saying, gotta do it.
So you're in a, well, if anything might is going to deter you away, I had an interesting set the other night on Friday.
You told me.
Well, you know, I was doing the station in Cranberry. It's a free show, so sometimes the clientele can be a little old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a little. They're eating during comedy, which is always kind of a no-no. But sometimes it's good. Sometimes it, you know, it's a room and it's free. And
it really depends on the wait staff. If they're finishing up their meal, they're kind of waiting for a show. If the wait staff is behind where people are starving, like, oh my god, thank you, food. They can give a rat's ass who's on stage.
So I didn't go up there. I went up there with a couple new things in mind. Now I went there and I was having fun with some of the comics beforehand. John Watson was there, and we were bullshitting, and he's in the back. So if you hear a voice in the back kind of sarcastically mocking the crowd, that's him.
Okay.
But I figured I'd play some of this and stop it at certain points. So none of this is good, okay? My material is not good. My material is okay, whatever, you know, it's whatever.
Hey, don't knock it. I got to do it on stage one of these days.
Yeah, that's true. But it's more like this woman, okay, let me preface this then. There was a drunk, like, very old woman, one old couple, there was four of them, hammer drunk. And she started talking and heckling, and she got me so out of my head, I didn't know what to do. But luckily I recorded it, so that's always fun to hear. All right, so let's play this, and I'll stop at a certain point.
Happy to be here. How are you guys doing tonight?
You sound different.
I sound too excited, but I am having a great day. Would you like to hear why?
Yes.
Why?
Because believe it or not, when I am not touring the globe and playing the station in Cranberry on a Friday night, I actually work as an elementary school teacher.
Really?
I'm sorry for you.
You're sorry for me or the kids?
We're wrong, man. No, for you.
Why is that?
I do it.
Right now. Oh, you're an elementary school teacher, too?
Wow.
Middle school.
Well, that's all right, though.
New Brunswick?
Yes. All right. Well, teaching's a good job, though.
Well,
right
off the bat, if I may stop you, the best comedy comes from people wanting to have a conversation with you while you're attempting your material.
Oh, yeah, that naturally is the way it
Why
goes.
Did the chicken cross the road? I had chicken last night!
So there you hear... There you hear me introducing a teaching bit and just trying to get through. And they're like, I like teaching. I do it too, you know. And it's not going well. Okay, right away.
But it's going to get better.
Right away, I kind of stop. I'm like, oh, you know, they kind of threw me off guard. Okay, so let's keep going.
Used to be.
Well, I think teaching is a good job because, look, you get summers off. You get benefits. And you get a second chance with the high school chicks.
Ow!
But anyway, I am an elementary school teacher. So today, I was having a great day. I'm doing bus duty. Now, bus duty is not very exotic. It's exactly what it sounds like. You sit and wait for kids to get off the bus. And this special ed kid gets off the bus. And I look at him and I say, good morning, Aiden. And he looks me right in the eye and he says, good morning, Chuck Norris. Like, is there anything better as a guy to be called than Chuck Norris?
She liked that.
You know, like, so I'm doing comedy tonight. I'm in a good mood. So the only thing that would make this perfect is if at the end of this, you ladies were like, good night, Ryan Gosling.
All right.
Okay. So that one, okay. That one, okay.
Yeah.
And, you could hear you could hear the people like like trying to talk. Those are like those two lines are very much my openers. Very, they usually kind of get the crowd going. It kind of sounds like it did happen that day. This is my big reveal about my act. I know.
Same things have been happening for the last 2 years, I noticed.
Yeah, pretty much. Same thing. You do bus duty a lot, Brennan, and you get called Chuck Norris for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's keep going.
But I also, just this week, I came across my 5-year wedding anniversary. And I think it's weird that you're clapping because just a month ago I filed for my first divorce.
Oh, no.
Yes. This ginger prince you see before you, ma'am, is free. If you're free.
Come on.
On stage. That's your man back there?
Oh, yeah, that's
what I am. I'm a girl.
Wait, so why are you guys sitting like... Are you guys like swingers?
Maybe.
Not really.
No. You couldn't be a swinger. Why?
No, we're not. Well, we just love each other.
Oh, that's good. But anyway...
So there was my opportunity to rip them to shreds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I kind of set it up like, oh, you guys are swingers. Oh, not really. We're not really swingers. We could be.
Yeah.
But I'm there just talking the whole time. So my delivery is getting off, and I'm not really like kind of forgetting what I'm about to say. And this woman's so drunk, like drunk, like intoxicated to the point where like, she's not even making sense. And the drinks just keep coming. Like, they keep serving her more and more and more. And all of them are habit.
As long as the bill's paid, they don't care.
Oh, yeah. That's true. So, totally out of my element now. And I'm starting to get, like, you know, really not feeling it. Like, I'm kind of disconnected between my mouth and my brain.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's keep going.
No rhythm.
Let's keep going. We got a couple minutes here.
All right.
So, I filed for my first divorce. It's weird. And like,
see right there where I'm repeating myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, where was I? Backtrack.
So, yeah, it was a good day.
Backtrack. And
I almost got to my fifth anniversary. You know how like you look up anniversaries and some of them are like, this is the diamond anniversary, the bronze anniversary. Well, apparently the fifth anniversary is the wood anniversary. Which is appropriate, ma'am, because all I wanted to do was light that bitch on fire.
I know.
Now,
I don't want wood.
Now, the fifth anniversary is the wood anniversary. I don't want wood. And then, yeah, because that just totally sucked the punchline out of that joke. And I go, well, because it's appropriate, because I want to set that bitch on fire. And she goes, I know.
No, I don't want to light her on fire. Who? You want to light her on fire?
Yeah.
Why? Very good. Very good. You know what?
So they're sitting there just saying, like, I'll light her on fire, and like pointing across the table, like, me on fire? What you talking about? Like, they're just like two women, just slobs.
Yeah, the best comedy is when you can hear plates clinking.
Yeah, plates clinking and people going, she's already drunk. Like, I should have just kept trying to go plow faster through things and try to. It's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Really hard.
But coming up to the stage is the woman with the 300-liter wine glass.
Yes, they gave it to me.
I don't know why.
Because
the cops are going to give it to you on the way home. Oh, good. Stay off the sidewalks.
Let him do his material. Let him do his material.
There's Johnny in the back.
Here's material.
But so, I, you know, I think... What was that?
My answer's back
there. I don't like what you're saying either, so...
Oh, good! Then I won't say anything.
Why here's material?
Let's keep it that way. But anyway, so I...
Tell her why.
Wow, this is fun. This is a good crowd over here.
Can he start over, please?
All right. So, like I said, I just came across my first divorce, right? And
that's the third time I've said that one.
It's painful. You know, you start to do a lot of things by yourself.
So that's the meat and potatoes of it. Okay, that's the meat and brutal, man. Brutal. Hard to even listen back. Like it's like oof. You know, like
when we get Vinny Brand on here, Vinny
is my audition tape.
My best 8 minutes.
Rough though, man. Like rough when people say you killed that night or you did really well. That's what the next night can be. Mm-hmm. You know, like and as experienced as I am, I'm not very experienced. To whatever years in, a couple years back in the day, I have to learn how to if that happens, how to adjust to it. And I got caught. Completely off guard. And a minute, I said the same line three times. I couldn't get back to where I was. Then I hear Watson in the background, and he's throwing me on. Let him start over, ma'am. Here's material. But these people were so obnoxious. It was like if it was a club, they'd probably be like, you know, you gotta go. You gotta go. You know, but or give them a warning, like, you know, you talk again, you're out of here.
Mm-hmm.
But that's comedy, people. That's comedy, and
that's what I can look forward to when I get back.
I was gonna say, so February 21st, if you want to see me, if you want to see me hosting, you can see some of that. But yeah, but it is interesting. It's just this beast. It's this sculpture that never stops. You know, like one night is perfect and you feel in step, and the next night is a disaster. Yep, that was my Friday night set, Berlou. So I guess we had a nice weekend of embarrassment.
Yeah, it sounds like a great 3-day weekend combined.
Yep. I think that wraps us up today. Congratulations. You're up, buddy. We're going ahead, and you're up 15-10.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank the guest, Alex Morono.
Yep.
And I wish him luck, and it was a great night. Michael Berlou, anything to promote?
Depending on when this comes out, I'm going to be on Saison and Neckbones, DWMusicRadio.com. Funny man Carlos Vera runs that show. You were just on it.
It was a good time.
I will be on it soon. And also, depending on when they give me the date, eight-minute dating down in the Little Ferry, Cabana Grill,
yep.
Run by Dave Durkin.
Yep. Very good. And I'll promote my I got two gigs coming up that I want to promote. The 28th, wrong dates. January 30th, I'll be down in City Streets. I'll be hosting. And the following night, I'll be at Tierney's hosting. So two nights of hosting for myself.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'll be at those places. And a lot of things to do. A lot of things coming up. The Verbal Shenanigans Comedy Show, February 21st. Follow us on Stitcher, Flyer, follow us on iTunes. Do all those things. Instagram at Verbal Shenanigans, all that good stuff. But most of all, what you can do for us is leave a review on iTunes. And if you do, Michael Berlou will do whatever you ask him to do.
Yeah, I'd like that.
So, people, keep the wind at your back, and life is funny. Laugh at it.
Got my car stuck again. I need some help.
Pretty bad at hunting deer. Bye bye, people.